Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
So, Margaret, we're talking about perfectly hidden depression. Now, is depression something that almost everyone has at one level or another?
Well, I think that it's fairly common. Actually, I know in the United States, anxiety is probably the most dominant mental health issue, but depression is a close second. So, you know, depression that's due to a situation, a loss, that more resembles grief, and grief can certainly turn into depression. Yes, we've all experienced that. We've all grieved, we've all been sad, and yet there are kinds of depression, I mean, there are so many different kinds. There's the kind that's involved in a more cyclical disorder with bipolar disorder. There's more that is just, as I said before, acute, and then there's more chronic depression that is that comes and goes. So I do think probably we've all experienced some kind of sadness. However, remember that someone with perfectly hidden depression, again, cannot or struggles to express that. They describe that they're sad. They describe that they're in pain of some kind, that something hurts, but they don't know how to actually feel it spontaneously.
Is that one of the things you're hoping to help people recognize with the book that's just been published?
Yes, Friday.
So, when did you decide to write the book?
Well, I told a story at the beginning of the book about a woman actually I saw way back in the late 90s, and I had not been treating her for depression. I thought she was anxious. And one day, her husband called me. Now, this is kind of a small town, Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I knew where they lived. And he said, "It's just weird. I can't get in touch with her." And she gave me this strange message. And he said, "Would you mind running over there?" And I was on my day off. I thought, she's probably out in the yard. I'll just go by and wave. But when I got there, she did not answer the door. And so I let myself in. I told the husband told me the code and all that kind of thing. Well, she was at home trying to die by suicide. And I found her with pills and a bottle of alcohol, and I didn't even know she drank. I have no suspicion that this woman was severely depressed. And I tucked that information away. I never wanted to write a book. I love being a therapist. It is something that I treasure doing for many, many years now. But when I got that kind of response from the post that I wrote in 2014, it got my attention, Alan. It was like, somebody needs to talk about this. And I searched the literature. I found Dr. Brené Brown's work. I found Terrence Real's work. I don't want to talk about it. There were some books about perfectionism, but nowhere could I find this link between perfectionism and actual severe depression. And since I began writing about it 5 years ago, again, I've not only had people seek out my help, but I've had people write me and tell me about what was going on, and I probably talked with hundreds of people about this.
Now, have you found, since you kind of decided to write the book, do you find that your blogs and your podcasts a lot of times find their way into the book as well?
Yes, I started, again, I really didn't think I was going to write a book. I set out to just write blog posts on it, and then I started the podcast about 3 years ago, so of course I incorporated that. But the more I began to write about it, I just started a column on Psychology Today, and the second column I wrote was called The 10 Commonly Shared Traits of Perfectly Hidden Depression. It has almost 100,000 views.
Wow.
100,000. And so, now not all of them, not all of them, but the first one was almost 30,000. So I think people really want this information. We're seeing celebrities and other people whose lives seem really good come forward and either say they've got bipolar disease or anxiety or PTSD or anorexia, but then there are also some that are dying by suicide. And again, this is something that is a cultural tragedy. In fact, it's international. All suicide rates are going up. So I think we have to look at every cause. But yes, of course, in my blogs and podcasts, in fact, my number two podcast is on the very first podcast I did on Perfectly Hidden Depression, which was my third, because I'd been told that the mean number of podcasts that anybody does was eight. So I decided I really wanted to get it out there. And it's had over 10,000 downloads, and that's just downloads. So I, but I've woven all of this into my work, and then I actually just happened to know a blogger who I became friends with. I didn't even know she was an acquiring editor. She never really told me, or if she did, I didn't even understand. And she encouraged me to do a book proposal, and then lo and behold, she proposed the book proposal to her, the agent that she works for, and he accepted, and I was on my way.
Wow. Now, in the book, I think you do a lot of work. You tell people all about the symptoms of perfectly hidden depression and all that, but you also offer tools to help them break out of that cycle. How did you come up with these tools? Are these things that you have just been using over the years with your patients?
Yes. In fact, my publisher was New Harbinger, and they had looked at the book very seriously. They wanted the book, but the thing they said to me, Alan, was, Margaret, you have to include a treatment strategy. Well, you can't just write a book that describes a syndrome and then leave it at that. And I sighed. I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to encapsulate what I've done for 25 years with people? And I had 2 weeks to do it. 2 weeks.
Wow.
So I sat down one day, and we're about 2 or 3 days, and I thought, okay, what do I do with people? And I came up with these 5 stages of healing. Mm-hmm. And they are really true for everyone. But then in the book, I applied them to perfectionism. And the book has 62 different exercises that are, a self-help guide to doing this work, with the caveat that if it gets too difficult, if you get over your head, if you have unresolved trauma in your childhood, then you really need to do this work with a therapist. But those stages are consciousness. You have to know a problem's a problem. You have to identify it as a problem. Commitment, meaning, and oh gosh, perfectionists have such problems with this. They'll start with a goal that's way too hard, or they'll not ask for help, or they'll start becoming very, very stressed because, of course, as they begin to connect with these emotions, their life doesn't feel as orderly anymore. So the stress level goes up, and it can, and they just, oh, what am I doing? I don't want to do this work. Then the third stage is confrontation, which really draws a lot from cognitive behavioral therapy, basically guiding someone to come up with the rules that no longer work for them, that they maybe have adopted as children to keep them safe, to keep them secure, but they're trying to apply it in their adult life, and it's simply, it's too strict, it's too rigid. We can use the example of someone who says they follow the rule, I'm never supposed to get angry, because they weren't supposed to get angry in their family. It was punished or was ridiculed. And so they're still living their life by that rule. The fourth is connection, meaning you go back, and my suggestion is through a trauma timeline, that you go back and you look at these emotions that you've pushed away, that you've compartmentalized, and you do that as best you can. And the trauma timeline really helps you see patterns. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the last one, Alan, is change. I believe strongly as a therapist and as a person that you don't get hope from insight. Insight's wonderful, but where you really get hope from is when you see your behavior change. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely some specific directions that I suggest that perfectionists, like who are reading the book, go in and try to relax and have more freedom and more spontaneity and develop self-acceptance.
So the book is called Perfectly Hidden Depression. It's about perfectionists who are hiding their depression, obviously from the title. But it's not just for perfectionists, is it? It's for basically anybody who has depression.
Well, I think it would be applicable mm-hmm. to other people. I had a comment, a review on Goodreads, and she said, I thought the book was pretty good, but it's not a topic that I really, understand, or it's not apropos for my life. So I think the exercises are, they're drawn from my practice for 25 years, and I've had some compliments on them. Mm-hmm. So if you're not a perfectionist, but you want to follow those reflections, it is a self-help guided book, a workbook, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's both a reading book and a workbook.
And in, when you're going through, obviously, the five C's, as you're going through them and through the exercises, are there points at which you, again, make the point to people, if you're having trouble dealing with this particular aspect, it might be a good time to seek help?
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Probably about every 30, 50 pages, or 30 pages, I'm saying, this may be really hard. It's okay. Now's the time to ask for help. If you do it from a friend, if you do it from a trusted mentor, or even, of course, I'm a therapist, and I'm a therapist because I got good therapy. So I highly believe in therapy, and looking for someone that now you can begin to let go of these rigid boundaries you have around yourself. So I'm constantly encouraging that, because I do believe, obviously, that can be very helpful.
So now, the book just came out, Perfectly Hidden Depression by Margaret Robinson Rutherford. How can people find it? Where can you find it?
Well, it is available in Canada, it's my understanding, and it will be available in Europe, I believe, in a couple of months. But it is available in paperback and in ebook on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I saw it in my local Barnes & Noble over the weekend. It was really thrilling. So you can get it there, or indie bookstores. Local bookstores can order it if you prefer working with a smaller bookstore instead of the larger ones. So it's highly available right now, and hopefully.
Margaret, I know it just came out, but any plans at this point for a second book, or is that asking a little bit too much?
Well, let's just say a shiver goes down my spine when you say that at the moment. We might do an addendum for therapists, some of the things that they can see that they need to be looking for these folks. But I do have an idea for another book. It is slowly gelling in my head. But again, in fact, one of the really significant things for me was that if you'd asked me 5 or 6 years ago, do you want to write a book? I said, no, I don't want to write a book. So I was drawn to this because of how many people reached out to me and said, can you tell us more? What do you think? And I'm delighted to and honored to have written the book and to have talked to as many people as I did. I sent out emails last week to a lot of the people that had reached out to me, and one of them got back. He's actually a motivational speaker. And yet he has this perfectionism and shame and all this stuff. And he just contacted me and said, well, hey, you helped me so much. I've got a podcast. Would you like to be on it? So he's, his life is changing and evolving, and it's been wonderful to see people celebrate this and understand better how they can have more real and authentic, and as Brené Brown says, wholehearted kinds of relationships, both with themselves and with other people.
Okay, Margaret Rutherford, thank you very much for calling in today and talking to us about Perfectly Hidden Depression.
Sure, Alan. Thank you very much.
Okay, take a break and be back with our next guest.